You ever had one of those dreams and you dream something and you think, man, that's horrible, and you wake up and you realize it's really not real? And you ever dream something like that, something really bad happened, and you think, man, and you think, boy, you're so relieved. What if you had that dream as a Christian? You thought you were doing all that, and you weren't doing all that, and you woke up one day in heaven, and it really wasn't what you thought. You really didn't make it in. Boy, it's different today. Y'all got quiet on me. Just a thought. I didn't say it's going to happen to you. I'm just wanting you to think a minute. I'm trying to get your mind engaged. Okay? So I want to talk to us for the next couple of hours if you're new here. Some people just left right there. Their mind just left. Boom. I want to talk to us the next few minutes on the topic of transformation. Are you transformed or do you just have behavioral modification? Now, I'm speaking spiritually, and some people don't get weird on me, say, well, there's good times for behavioral modification. I had those growing up. My daddy gave me behavioral modifications all the time. Come on, somebody. I was acting poorly. He got a hold of my hind end. He gave me a whooping. Let me just put it that way. Gave me a whooping, told me to beat with an inch of his life. It wasn't abuse. It was attention getters. And I modified my behavior. Amen. I'm not talking about that today. I'm not going to talk about that side of it. I'm talking about from the spiritual side. Have you been transformed, or have you just modified the behavior a little bit? There's a big difference. Have you been, what did you tell me, Jason? Have you repented, or are you just doing sin management? A lot of Christians do sin management. I'm just going to manage these, group them up over here, because that's some bad stuff. I don't want anybody to know. My little stuff in here, and then we manage it and we group it. So I want to talk about being transformed. Have you been transformed, or do you just have a behavioral modification plan going on? Behaviorally modified people seek to change their behavior to the people or the places that they're in. I can adapt my behavior to my surroundings. You know anybody like that? I'm just going to adapt while I'm here to this and make it spiritual. You know, because Paul said, if I'm in Rome, I'll be as the Romans. If I'm a Jew, I'll be as a Jew, so to speak. That's paraphrasing. He said, I'll be what I need to be. Problem is, he was already what he needed to be. He was just trying to get them on board with him. Amen? And so, behaviorally modified people seek to change their behavior to the people or the surroundings that they're in, while transformed people seek to change the people and places that are around them. There's a difference. So behaviorally modified people, they want to fit into what's around them. But truly transformed Christians, followers of Christ, seek to change the people and their surroundings. It's a lot harder when you look at it from that way. It's a lot more difficult. So my verse today is Romans 12 and 1. Actually, I think it's 12:2, not 12:1. I've got 12:1. You got 12:2, don't you? I just saw that right there. 12:2. And it says, and do not be conformed. You could say be behaviorally modified to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove. What you got to do? You know, you got to prove something. You got to prove something to the world. It's one thing to tell me you walked the aisle and you said a little prayer. But the Bible says here that when you get transformed, that you should be able to prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God in your life. You ought to be able to prove something to the world. When you get transformed, when you get born again, there ought to be something in you that says, now I'm going to prove to the world who I am. Whose I am. This is going to be better than you think now. So I'm going to give you some definitions here. Transformation, you can look these up. I looked them up. Webster's Dictionary. These are just simple, just good old definitions. Transformation. Watch this. Now you need to listen. I want you to, you got to get this in your spirit because I believe you're going to leave here transformed today. If you don't, it's not because of the Word of God. It's because you want to be just behaviorally modified. You really don't want to be transformed. Because when you want to be transformed, you want to be holy as God is. You want to strive for to be holy, right? You want to strive to be Christ-like. That's what Christian means, to be Christ-like. So when you get truly born again, you want to take on those things. You want to take on what he's got going on. So that's transformation. So transformation. It says it's an operation that converts. Come on, somebody. Salvation should be a conversion. We refer to them as new converts. From what? We got new converts coming in, but we don't see anything different 3 years later, and we say, well, they're under grace. Well, thank God we're all under grace. Without grace, we can't make it. But there's got to be some changes. Somewhere in here, we've got to step up and play the game. So transformation is the operation that converts. And then it gives this definition as by insertion, deletion, or permeation. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm glad you said that. I'm going to tell you because most people didn't either. They just didn't have enough nerve to say it. So by insertion, you get transformed by inserting something different in. When you get saved, you got to insert Christ's word into you. This transformation also says you got to delete something. What do you got to delete? Maybe some of your friends. It may be some of the TV programming. It may be what you're reading, what you're seeing. There's an insertion of something and there's a deletion of something. But we don't want to do those, but we're saved. Well, that's not the definition of transformation. You call it what you want. The Bible says you got to be transformed. So if there's no change, if there's no insertion or deletion of something, then really did you get transformed? No, because you're the same way. Woo! Permutation means this. It says it's often a major or fundamental change. Watch this. As in character or condition. Watch this. This is good if you listen. Based primarily on a rearrangement of existing elements. Your physical body don't change when you get saved. You can come to the altar this morning, and I promise you, you're probably not going to go home and move from your house. You can get saved this morning, and, excuse me, and you're going to go home, and you're probably not going to get a divorce. If you're single, you're probably not going to go get married. There's some things that are staying. It's a rearrangement of some things that already exist. So what do we have to rearrange? Well, we got to look back at transformation. You've got to rearrange some, delete some things. Come on now. That's a rearrangement, right? When you delete stuff out of your life, you rearrange it out of your life. There's some things got to be a rearrange. You've got to insert God's word. If you're not a Christian, you probably hadn't been reading God's word, at least very much. Oh, you may have a wonderful daily devotion, and I'm not against those. But do not let your daily devotion take the place of God's word. Amen. And then there's this word modification. You ready for the definition of modification? Here it is. The making of a limited change in something. So you can be renewed or transformed, Or you can have a modification. Let me just change something slightly. Now, Woody, you work in a mechanical industry. You're always making stuff and gears and this, that, and conveyors. Am I correct? Okay, amen. Sometimes you build something because of your knowledge of the past. You'll build a conveyor that's got, you know, a 37-tooth sprocket on it and requires a number 60 chain and with a 1-to-5 gear ratio. Crazy, isn't it? But that's kind of the way you look at stuff. It's got to run a certain speed, right? And you go to you install this into a plant somewhere, into a facility. And it's working great, but 2 days later, they call Woody and say, this is running a little fast. How do we slow it down? So Woody has to get on the clock, of course. We're making money. And go to this facility and look at it for himself and say, now, how fast do you want it to go? How much slower does it need to go? And then he does some calculations with some pulleys and gears and chains, and he modifies it just ever so slightly. Doesn't change what it's doing. It was doing what it was doing great. But the speed needed to be changed. Just a slight modification. Sounds simple, doesn't it? Sure it does. Here's the problem. People get saved and they want to make a slight modification. They just want to, just a little bit. I don't want to change who I am. I don't want to be so different that I got to get rid of all my friends and I got to do this and I can't watch this and I can't say this and I can't do this and I can't drink that and I can't smoke that and can't shoot that and can't stick that or sleep with that. Come on, somebody. I don't want to do all that. I just want a slight modification. I'll just start going to church. Just a little bit. I mean, that looks good, right? I mean, ooh, I'm going to church. I wasn't going to church. People think I'm something. Yeah, they thought that new conveyor that Woody put in was something too, until they still really got down to using it. And then they noticed there was needed to be some modification. So my question, have you been transformed? Or have you just been slightly modified? Have you just had a little behavioral modification? Now, it gets better. Just start breathing. Everybody take a couple of breaths. Just so you know, I told him in the staff meeting earlier, I got it before you got it twice. I had the thought and the idea. I put it down. I thought, I don't really like this too much. Then I had to study out and really get into detail, and I said, I really don't like it at all. But Lord, surely somebody there needs it. He said, well, I don't know about them, but you need it, son. Come on, somebody. Transformation is painful. Behavioral modification is just practice. You get in the habit of doing something, a heathen can get in the habit of coming to church on Sunday and still be a heathen year after year after year, visit after visit. But transformation is painful. Transformation, see, is a process in which you got to delete something, insert something, or make something come to fruition later on. Am I making any sense? Making sense up there in the balcony up there? We good? You hear me? Okay, just checking. You want to know why the Muslim faith, the Islamic faith, is the fastest growing religion in the world? In 1985, there was about 200 million. That's all they were of the Islamic faith. Today, there's 2 billion. There was about 2 billion Christians in 1985, roughly. This is just stats. Today, there's 2.2 billion. So we haven't increased a whole lot in that same time, while the Islamic faith has just, overtaken. At the rate we're going in 2 years from now, we'll be surpassed, no problem. Why? Because when you come into the Islamic faith, you get transformed into that way of believing. and you trust it and you believe it and you go make other believers. I'm going somewhere. The church houses, Daniel, are empty, are emptying out, and sin is in the church house because we want behavioral modifications rather than transformation, because transformation is painful. Transformation has to do with more than the preacher or the pastor. You got to be transformed. I'm preaching better than your amen in me. This is good stuff. This is how the church grows. When the church becomes transformed and stops being behaviorally modified, then the church grows because the world sees something that you trust, you believe in, and they want what you got. Woo! You know why the world typically doesn't want what you have, what the church has? Because they see you that you are behaviorally modified, and you're this way at this group of people, and then we get this place, you're this way, and then you're this way, and you're something different at church when they follow you to church one Sunday. And they say, well, I can do that and don't have to be transformed, because transformation is painful. Why should I want to be transformed? I can do what they do. But what we do as a Christian as a whole, a lot of times, it leaves people empty. They do these things you're doing, and they say, well, I still don't feel any different on the inside. I still have no hope. I'm not encouraged. I don't want to change. Why do I want to change? I'm doing that anyway. There's a difference, church. Hebrews 12:11, to prove you that your transformation, your walk with the Lord, your repentance is painful. To the flesh, Hebrews 12:11 says, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. If you were kind of wondering if it's painful, it says it's painful. Does it seem in this moment of having to rearrange the things and delete some things out of your life that's not approving of God, guess what? That's painful. It's hard for you to tell your friends that you go and you do all the stuff with, I can't do that anymore. Because you think that's your best friends, because they go with you and do that and they allow you to do it with no questioning. It's painful. That's my best friends. Are they? They seem to be now, but see, what we don't know, that is God's bringing someone else into your life that can be better for you than them. But it's painful in the beginning. Maybe your body goes through some withdrawals. But I like alcohol, and I like a lot of it. I like dope. I like drugs, pills, whatever, prescriptions. It's painful to get off of that stuff. I know it is. Talk to too many people. I know it's painful. But transformation is painful. The scripture says so. But I promise you it's good for you. Watch this, what it says. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Here's the problem in most churches today. We come and get saved, and we want to train the Holy Spirit into our lives instead of us being trained by the Holy Spirit. We want the Holy Spirit to go along with our plans. We want to behaviorally modify the Spirit of God and us not change. Man, I think I'll go home. Y'all got it, right? That's what we want. We want God to really fill in our plans. The number one thing that happens, Daniel, the number one thing that I can see that pretty much happens on a regular basis when people get saved is they just start attending church. Most everything else, you can talk to people 6 months later and say, well, I was so glad when such and such got saved. They did. Yeah, like 6 months ago. For real? We talking about the same person? I got saved 1,000 times when I was growing up. I thought that's what you do.
Not just raise it away. You get saved, boy.
Hope you don't miss a repenting session. Hope you don't miss something when you're repenting because you're going to hell over that. Well, that's grace. We got grace for that, okay? Because I was one way on Sunday morning and Sunday evening going to church. I was, glory, hallelujah, worshiping. And then at school, I was another way. I was just really behaviorally modified. Problem is, if you're not careful, you don't catch it. You get into a habit, and that carries over into adulthood, and you keep doing the same thing, and you're never really transformed. I want to give you some hope, though. You cannot be transformed. You cannot go through a transformation, regardless of what it looks like when you watch the Transformers on television. That would be so cool. They're going there and they're a car, and all of a sudden now they're a robot, and they're a robot, and now they're a, I don't know, a bulldozer, whatever. And they just seem so effortless. They just go from one to the other, just like, yay. Wouldn't that be cool? Good luck with that. The Bible says it's painful. You remember? I read it to you. The Bible said your transformation is painful. But it's going to lead to something really good. But it's painful in the process. And let me tell you something. Sometimes your Christian walk all of your life is painful. Because the more you seek God, the closer you're getting to Him, the more you're transformed, the more you're renewed toward Him. Because I promise you, when you get saved, but you're not holy as He is holy yet. You got to work on that. You're saved. Transformation is painful. But you can't do it by yourself. Here's what the Bible says. In John 14, 26, we find it right in the first three words. Maybe four. Verse three. But the helper. Everybody say, but the helper. Now let's say this. The Holy Spirit. So, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So He's a helper. You can't do it by yourself. Sir, ma'am, you can't. It's impossible. You can't even be saved without some other entity called Christ. So you get saved by help, and you transform by help of the Holy Spirit. The helper helps you transform, helps you through those painful moments, comforts you when you have to delete something out of your life that you really liked. Helps you navigate when you have to insert things that you're unaware of and that you didn't know was necessary. And helps that evolve into what Christ wants you to be. Amen? We hire personal trainers. I don't. I have personal trainers in this church. They bring me little Debbies and things. We hire personal trainers to help us transform our bodies into something that we want to see in the mirror. Not a person in this room, unless you're retarded, hadn't stood in the mirror and said, man, I don't like this part of me. I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't like this. Come on. Me and Sandy go, well, was that flabby? Oh, what was that? Am I real? We hire personal trainers to help us what? Transform into something that we're not. We spend money for that. Do we not? Sure, some of you got, I got membership. I've had a membership. Son, how long have you been going to the gym? Let me rephrase the question. Honey, how long have we been paying for him to go to the gym? 15 years. I paid for a membership for the family to go, family time, family group, let's go to the gym. Woohoo! We're going to the gym. We're going to go together. No, we're not. We're not going together. Have you seen this in workout gear? No. No. I went with my son. If I had a tank top on, I went with my son. They'd say, who's that? I don't know. Who's that guy struggling over just to lift the bar? I don't know him. But we hire people to transform us. Stay with me. We hire doctors to help us pluck things and tuck things and hide things and lift things that we don't want people to see. We call it tuck, pluck, and lift. Boy, y'all don't say that fast. You'll get in trouble in the house. Because some of you ain't been transformed. You've just been behaviorally modified. We do that, right? Cut this off, tuck this in, blow this up, blow these out, do all this stuff, put these. What are we doing? We're modifying. We're modifying. In the hopes that somebody will see what we've been transformed. But when you get older, those things start to make you look deformed. Come on, somebody. You know they look weird when they're 80 years old and that ain't supposed to look like that. Something wrong with that. I bet you they had this done, this done. I'm making a point. I know it's a little humorous and I like fun because I think God's fun. I think God's laughing in heaven right now. Yep. At me. We pay good money to try to preserve things that will die. But we won't ask the Holy Spirit to help us transform those things that will live forever. We want to do things to our physical properties, our homes, our whatever, our big, and they're going to rust and die. And we'll spend great money and get architects and get opinions on how to do stuff to make it look beautiful. And there's nothing wrong with that. But yet we will never, ever ask the Holy Spirit to help us transform into what he wants us to be. The one thing that's eternal. For free. Why do we do this? Because behavioral modification is easier. We just need to learn to act like everyone else and do what everyone else is doing. It's easier to fit into the crowd than it is to go against the crowd. It's easier to get in the circle of the guys or gals at work and around the coffee pot and curse and tell nasty jokes than it is to walk away and say, oh, man, y'all not be saying that stuff. Come on now. Who are you, holier than holy, holy, holy roller? Well, I'm far from a holy roller. Do you hear me? We really don't even qualify to be deemed that term anymore in the church. Holiness is far from us anymore in the modern church. Pastor, I don't know if you know what you're talking about. You're not our church. I hope not. But I do have a question. If that's not the case, how many people you won to the Lord this year? I'll go even deeper. How many of you really sat down and talked to somebody and said, do you know where you're going if you die and go, if you die right now, do you know where you're going? Have you had that conversation? I'm not talking about, I talked to them about coming to church. We go to Sullivan's too. We go to the Mexican restaurant. I'm talking about being transformed. I think my wife wants me to quit. I don't know if I called her up here. Amen. Maybe she's under conviction. I don't know. Come on, somebody. Pray for me when I get home. Again, I want to say this. Behaviorally modified people seek to change their behavior to the people or places that surround them, but transformed people seek to change the people and the places that are around them. We've got to be transformed into Him. We got to be transformed by the Spirit. We need help. When you draw close to the Holy Spirit and you let Him transform you, then your behavior as a Christian is modified to be Him, not the world. That make sense? When you let the Holy Spirit draw you and you stay close to Him, He begins to modify the behavior that you should have. So you got transformation should bring about behavior modification. But we think it's backwards. We want behavior modification to bring about transformation. Good luck with that. So recently, this week, we've been doing some construction work. Some of you have been seeing. We're doing some things around here. And back here in the back, and on this far wall, there was some sheetrock there that's been nasty for a while. I don't know, a couple years, 2-3 years. Just kind of had a leak at one time, and we did a really good job of painting over it. You'd be surprised at the people come and say, man, that looks so good. Yeah, look good. See, what they didn't know that I knew, that behind it there was a leak. And I've done enough construction to know that at some point that's going to show its ugly head. What's really there is really going to come out. And so a few years down the road, I'm looking at that, and I'm up there on a ladder, and I'm seeing how soft it is. My finger goes through it. There was no, watch this, there was no substance. There was no strength. There was no backing. It was a great piece of paper, but nothing else. We cut that out and had to. Looked ugly. Like Tuesday, it was ugly. We patched it up before y'all got here, but it was ugly on Tuesday. We took it out and it was spider webs and ick and black and just, Said, well, let's try to get it covered up before these people see it. I mean, you know, the inspectors. I mean, church people. Why'd we let it get that bad? You didn't do it. You didn't show up with your saw and your hammer and your sheetrock tools. That's why we didn't do it. How'd you get that bad at the Christian walk? Because you didn't do it. You didn't let transformation happen in your life. That's why you got where you are. You understand that, correct? Nobody put you there. Nobody went by and did that. That happened over time because decay had set in from an outside force called water. And it began to decay the things that couldn't resist water. Your flesh cannot hardly resist sin. Matter of fact, I'll say it this way. It can't resist sin without the help of the Holy Spirit. But we don't go to the Holy Spirit for help, and we let a little bit of sin come in and it begins to decay, but we're behaviorally modified so we look good on the outside and nobody knows. But yet on the inside you're falling apart and your family's falling apart and your drug's getting worse and your alcohol's getting worse and your pornography's getting worse and your lying's getting worse. Come on, somebody. And your prayer's getting less and your time with God's getting less and your worship's getting less and you're coming less. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching today. So I asked the staff back there, Lord, anoint my tongue to preach the word and anoint your ears to receive it. Two different anointings. Because if you get anointed to receive it, you'll put it in your heart. And when you put it in your heart, there's going to be some kind of change go on. That's how this thing works. The Holy Spirit designed this to do this. He knows you're not going to be perfect the moment you get saved. You're saved, though. Praise God. Come on, somebody. He took a chance and you got saved. He's not interested in your behavioral modification transforming you. He's interested in your transformation, changing your behavior. And it comes through the help of the Holy Spirit. Behavioral modification will not bring about spiritual fruit. Let me say it again. Behavioral modification will not bring about spiritual fruit. Why? Because behavioral modification is in the flesh. And the Bible teaches us that the flesh and spirit are enmity with each other. They're at war. And I promise you, the flesh ain't going to give in to the spirit unless you get some help and get transformed. Let me prove this to you. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 20, the Bible says, therefore, by their fruits, that's why the world knows you the way you are, because you're trying to live by behavioral modifications and not by the Spirit. Not by the Spirit of God that can change you from the inside out. See, we had to take that sheetrock and change it from the inside out. We had to go in and tear out all the old stuff. It was painful. And put up the new. There was a transformation began to happen. So how do we know? What is some fruit that God's looking for? What is some fruit that the world is looking for? Are you ready? You know they're listed in the Bible? Let me just, in case you hadn't run across them just yet in your yearly Bible reading. You ought to be getting real close if you're reading the Bible in a year, though. Matter of fact, you ought to be past this point. Are you listening to me? You should be past this point. If you ain't, you ain't going to make it, is what I'm saying. You just got a few days left. Galatians 5:22 says this, but the fruit of the flesh, the fruit of behavioral modification, spirit with a capital S, not just a spirit, but the spirit. But the fruit of the spirit is, well, I love those that I want to love. Joy. That's not a little kangaroo either. Joy. World looks at a lot of Christians and say, good Lord, is it that bad serving Christ? When I was a youth pastor at Blade, kids would get saved and they'd say, so does that mean now we can't do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, A, whatever it is? We've been taught that. If you get saved, the world's taught our kids, if you get saved, you can't do this and this and this. Wait a minute, whoa, whoa, whoa. A truly transformed heart says, I don't want to do this, 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 and this. It's not a list of I don't get to's. It's a list of I don't want to's. It's all the way you look at it. So, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. Lord, we got Christians that's just so anxious and no, have no peace and has no joy and has no love except for themselves. Long-suffering. I'm working on that, okay? You don't get all the gifts at one time. Thank you, Lord. You know what long-suffering is? Just turn it around. You're suffering long. You're suffering long for something to happen. You're suffering long with those people. Aren't you glad that God is long-suffering with us? Aren't you glad that God is so long-suffering that when you do this thing a million times over, He says, I'm suffering long with you. Let me help you. I got a granddaughter. She's just spitfire. She loves me. The other day, hope her daddy don't get mad at me. I make her work when she comes to my house. Come on, somebody. And I had cut off some 6x6 posts that were about this tall. They were as tall as her head. They were treated. I was working on it, and she said, "Papa, what else can I do?" I'd had her pick up everything small, trims off the wood, you know, just trimmings and corners. And I said, "Baby, that's about it. All I got to do is pick up these long posts." I look over there, and she's trying to pick up the end. I tell you, she already cleaned the barn stalls. She's trying her hardest to pick it up, and she can't get it. And she says, "Papa, this is too heavy for me." I said, "Well, give me just a minute. Let me finish what I'm doing, and I'll help you." She figured out where I wanted them over there on this pile, that she could actually start that thing rolling and get it there and then scoot it around. She's struggling. There's like four of these things. She's struggling. You ever struggle with something? You ever struggle with something? Come on, somebody. You've been struggling with something? And I was on it, and I saw her struggling. I'm saying, "I'm going to see how far she can go." Come on, somebody. How far can she take this thing? She gets over there, and I said, "Wait a minute, let me help you put it on the pile." "Papa, I got it." She's mad now. She's mad at that post. "Baby, if you wait just a minute, I'll help you." Did I tell you there's four of them? That was one. "I'm busy up on a ladder." She realized that she can roll that thing a little ways. Sometimes it'd get hung up and get on a flat spot because she kind of quit rolling. And it'd kind of be, and she'd start over. I kept telling her, "I'll help you." Got it. She was tired by the last one, and "Papa, I can't do it." "Baby, I got it. Let me show you how to do it." See, she's not strong enough yet to bend over and pick up the end. I could have picked up the whole little log and carried it over. But I said, "Here's how you want to do it. You pick up the end and you stand it up. And you hold on to it and you can walk backwards and drag it. And then you drop it." I know in her mind, she said, "When did you tell me that first time?" See what happened? I offered help the first time. But she had to learn on her own whether she could do it or not. And she realized she could do it a little bit, but she couldn't do it all. I'm here to tell you, whatever you're going through, you might be able to do it a little bit. You may have some modifications that on the outside looks like you're handling it real well and you're going to do it. But I'm here to tell you, you're going to need some help from the Holy Spirit. You're going to need the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, to come and help you through those moments that you struggle with, where sin tries to come in and pull you back, where sin tries to come in and behaviorally modify you to something that God don't want you to be. Fruit of the Spirit is kindness, goodness. Come on, watch this now. Faithfulness. We're more faithful to the things of the world than we are the things of God. Did you hear what it says? We're more faithful to the things of the world than we are the things of God. Have a set time to sit and worship God through the prayer and reading of God's word and meditation. That's just if we have time today, we'll get to it. No, be faithful with God's word. Be faithful with the insertion of God's word into your life. That brings about more transformation. Oh yeah, it's going to be painful, but oh yeah, it'll bring a good result in the end. We we bring on so much worry. We have, you know, there's a statistic I read that said that when we go to church three times a week, our kids will go two and their kids will go none. We bring on this worry about our kids. Well, I hope they go to heaven. Oh, but grandkids go to heaven. I hope they live right and do right. Well, they're probably not if you're not giving a good example, because we got to be faithful. We got to be faithful to God's word. We got to be faithful to pray. We got to be faithful to give a godly answer when troubles come. Faithful to God. Let him lead you. Gentleness. Here's one. Are you ready? It's why you can't do it on your own, because you the fruit of the Spirit, by the Spirit, with the help of the Spirit, is self-control. Can you control yourself? Can you control yourself when that looks so good? Do you have self-control? Sometimes I think that's what Christians sound like when we want to give a piece of advice, that we're just being behaviorally modified. We've not been transformed. This is what it sounds like to non-believers. I do that with my grandbaby. Makes no sense whatsoever. It's nothing. The Bible says what? You don't have love. You're just tingling cymbals, sounding brass. You're just nothing. Just a sound. Do you have self-control? Do you have self-control when that thing comes on, men? When that thing comes on the computer, do you have self-control? Do you have self-control when life gets tough and you think, man, if I could just do this, I could lose my problem for a while? Do you have self-control? Do you have self-control? This is a fruit of the Spirit. Well, hallelujah. Watch this. And against these things, there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. The opposite of these things, the opposite of love and joy and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, the opposite of that is sin. The opposite of that is trying to live a life without Christ, is what it says. And those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with the passions and its desires. If you're in Christ, you start crucifying these. If you're in Christ, you start transforming so you don't do those things. If you're in Christ, you become something new. You don't have to, though. You don't have to. Isn't that cool? You don't even have to. Nobody makes you. You get to. You get to. I got to close. I preached 40 minutes. 46 to be exact. I hope you got something out of the word. But here's what I want you to get. Behaviorally modified people. Watch, listen to me. Saved people. They're just behaviorally modified people. When you behaviorally modified people do not have the fruit of the Spirit. Because the Bible says those that have been crucified with Christ have those attributes. I didn't come up with it. That's what the Word says. Now, if you want to modify the Word, that's your business. You take it up with Him when you get there. Because you ain't going to stay long if you don't change something. Just to pass by. You realize that, right? Some people, they're going to be on the drive-thru lane in heaven. They ain't going to get to go and dine. They'll be shipping you through there faster than you get through Chick-fil-A on a Monday. You know I love you, don't you? I'm not an evangelist. God didn't call me to be an evangelist. God called me to be a pastor. I understand my roles. I'm to preach the hard stuff that makes you grow, give you some tools. Evangelists come by and stir up the gifts and get you excited about God and all that stuff too.
transformed today with every head bowed and every eye closed. Pastor, I've been doing so good till you brought this message. I had everybody fooled. But Pastor, you read some things in the Word of God that I knew. I don't know that I possess those things. Pastor, I want to be transformed. I want to be transformed by God's Word. I want to be transformed by the Holy Spirit working in my life. Pastor, I've done some things that I know is not right. In fact, Pastor, I've done some things last night that wasn't right. I've done some things this morning that wasn't right. Life-giving blood of Jesus Christ. I need to be transformed on the inside. I need all of that gunk to be washed away with His precious blood. If that's you, will you get up and make your way to this altar this morning? We'll have some people that's going to be right with you and pray. This is not condemnation. This is about transformation today. This is about renewing your spirit. If that's you, will you come to these altars this morning? Jesus as your Savior. If you were to die right now and go to hell, today's your opportunity. Christ took a chance, sent His Son, that today you would be here and you would have an opportunity to be saved. If that's you, I'd like for you to come this morning. I'd like for you to come. The Holy Spirit would love for you to come. Christ would love for you to come. So much so He sent His Son to die for you. He would love for you to make your way to these altars this morning and make it right with Him. Get right in right standing with Him this morning. Would you come? If you're in this building, would you come? Would you come? You're not guaranteed tomorrow. It's not scare tactic. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Would you come? You can come at any time during this altar call. Pastor, to be quite honest with you, I think I'm saved, but I sure have been modifying God's Word to fit my life. There's some things I need to insert, some things I need to delete, and things God's not okay with that. I've modified it to fit my life. If that's you, would you come to these altars? Will you make your way here? Not as a sign that you're a certain way, just as a sign that you want to draw closer to God. Just as a sign that you want the Holy Spirit, you're relinquishing your will, your desires to the help of the Holy Spirit. It's what Scripture tells us to do. To let Him help you. Let Him help us. Thank you, Father. I thank you for your word. I thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I've never had this done. 15 years. I've been here almost 15 years. The altars are closed right now. I've never had that happen to me. The Lord said, cut the altars off right now. Just stop. Never in 15 years have I ever had that happen. God's dealing with somebody in this room. We're not opening back up the altars. It's just going to be you and him. God's dealing with you in this place. I think that it's the seriousness of God with you and your relationship with him. God's dead set against your behavioral modification program. But he's 100% for your transformation, because he designed and he organized it and he said this is the way it's got to be. He's not interested in our modification plans. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. When you leave this place, let him speak to you. Don't push him away. Embrace him. I told you it'd be painful. Did I not? Did the word not tell you it's going to be painful? But yet it's going to bring a good result. It's going to bring a good result. Sir, ma'am, you just sit right down there, please. Just sit right there. Just wait. Please. Holy Spirit's dealing with some stuff here. There'll be people that's going to come and say, I need to be discipled in the Word of God. If we've been transformed and we believe this gospel and we believe Christ, there's going to be some change from here to out there. That's the way it works. Heaven right now, the Bible says that over one sinner that's saved, that heaven rejoices. You
you ought to be rejoicing this morning that somebody come to him and somebody said, I want you to save me, Lord. I want to serve you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would give him more strength. Lord, that you would give him more aptitude. Lord, you would give him more tenacity. Lord, because the enemy is going to come at him. But Lord, we know it's going to be painful. But we know that your spirit is in it. And we know that your spirit is greater than anything else, because the word says that greater is in he that is in me than he that's in the world. So Father, I pray right now, Lord, that you welcome him into heaven, his spirit. Lord, you welcome him to heaven. Lord, I pray that the transformation, Father, begins to take place, and there's behavioral modifications that begin to show, and the fruit of the Spirit, Lord, comes alive into his spirit. Lord, touch Rocky today in the name of Jesus. Minister to him today in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody pray with him. Pray with him. Pray with him. Pray for him. Pray for him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, some of you spirit-filled men, get around him. Will you pray for him? Come on, you know what he's faced with. Come up here and pray with him. Come on, pray with him. Rejoice with him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we worship you in this house today, because it is nothing but the blood of Jesus that sets us free, washes us clean. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, some of you men that's been blood bought born again, you ready? Fix and see how transformed you are. Get a hold of him. Reach out to him. Disciple him a little. Come on now. Christ done the work. He just received it. Be disciple makers. Don't pray for him. Say, boy, I hope he makes it. Don't you put some skin in the game and say, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. I'll come alongside you. You're going to make it. Amen. That's part of that transformation. Painful. Got to give up some of your time. Love you. Hope you've enjoyed today. Hope you got something out of it. Hope you challenge in your spirit. Amen. Let me bless you before we go. Can I do that? Father, we thank you that your face has shone upon us today, that we have found favor with God and with man. Lord, we pray that job promotions, raises, prosperity, and increase would come to us. Lord, we pray for peace. That peace that rested on rock, peace. We pray for peace that would blanket every rooftop so that we'd be laid down.